Some in this room today, I'm sure, can relate to that last song. You're the son that needs to come home, maybe. Maybe you've come home. So you can relate very much to that. And some, as I look across this room and take stock of who's all here, perhaps there's some that are the daddy. The parent that's waiting to see that child. Our God is a deliverer. And let me just encourage you with this. As hopeless as it may seem for you as a parent, God is going after that son or daughter of yours. He wants them more than you do. So be encouraged with that. Our psalm today, 116, that I'm actually going to preach from. I read from it earlier. Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray together. God in heaven, Lord, we thank you that you are our deliverer. You've delivered us. We have peace because of that. We have hope, not just in what you've secured for us, but all your promises. And your promise, you promised, God, that you're not willing that any should perish and that all would come to repentance. And as we look at the words of this psalmist here that you've provided for us, these words from you through them, and we see and understand their hopelessness of their situation, and yet you delivered. God, that deliverance is for everyone. Everyone here today, everyone listening through our live stream. God, help me as I present your words. I wouldn't add mine. My focus would be just on helping all of us here to know you. That's why you gave us your word. Help us to know you better, in Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 116, it is the testimony of a grateful man. This isn't just a Thanksgiving message. It's not really. I think calling it a Thanksgiving message dilutes it. It puts the hallmark flavor on it. This has nothing to do with the holiday or the pilgrims. This is all about God. God delivered a man from death. And this man describes his brush with death and how he cried out to the Lord. God heard his desperate prayer and saved him. Now, we don't know who wrote this psalm, okay? It could be King Hezekiah, very likely was. He had a terminal illness recorded in the Bible. He begged God to heal him, and God answered his prayer and extended his life for an additional 15 years. It could be him. His experience of physical deliverance pictures our salvation. We almost just need to have a shout and fit in here this morning. Just thinking about God delivering us. And when we repent and receive Christ, God delivers us from spiritual death. And Paul explained it this way in Colossians 2 and verse 13. He says, and you being dead in your trespasses and sins, dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. quickened. He brought us back to spiritual life. The psalmist sets an example for us to follow when we experience God's deliverance. Now, I assume by the hands that I saw raised earlier, that includes most of us in this room. This is a pattern for us to follow. Number one, we are to make a bold confession. In Psalm 116, verse 1, I love these words. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. His confession can be summed up with these words. I love the Lord. Are you afraid to say that today? We sing songs, oh, how I love Jesus, and I love you, Lord, and so many songs that we sing that have I love you, Lord, in there. Imagine being saved from death and then saying, I love the Lord. Why? He says, because God saved him. And he is just overflowing with passion for God right now. I think it's important to note here that in the Old Testament, the use of the word love is more than just the feeling thing that we think of. It's a feeling that results in an action in the Old Testament. And as this psalm progresses, the psalmist emphasizes what he will do because he loves the Lord. Why can we love God with such passion? And if you don't have that passion, there's something missing, okay? I just want to kindly suggest that maybe there's something missing if you don't have that passion, because God hears and listens to our pleas for help. Because we can pray to him, as it says there in verse 2, pray to him with confidence our whole life. So the psalmist, he prayed. God heard. God answered. Wow. Imagine that. The God of the universe, the creator of everything that we see, he heard you, this little tiny, less than a speck in the universe, speaking to the one who created all of it, who's bigger than all of it. He heard you and he answered you. That's amazing. Aren't you glad you're not a small child anymore? Remember what it's like to be a small child and you're trying to talk to big people and they're not listening? Well, God is so much bigger than big people, okay? And he listens, he hears, he answers, and he wants to hear from us. So this psalmist resolved that as long as he lived, he would continue to call on God, because he loved God, because God cares about what we face. We're coming to the end of the year. You know, we always start the new year with New Year's resolutions. How about end of the year reviews? What would your year be like? Was it a good year? A rough year? A year that you end and you're just tired. You're ready for it to be over. Because next year's got to be better than this year, right? God cares. He cares about what we face. Whether it's a serious illness, and we've had them in our family here this year, haven't we? Or some other situation. The cords of death for the psalmist, they were strangling the breath out of him. And he cried to God. God saw. God was intimately touched by the man's desperate need. Folks, we should openly confess our love for the Lord. Let's just forget about saying it in here where it's safe. Say it out there. The way this family sang some of these songs, let's go out there and do it. There's our booth for Chili Fest next year. When our community comes together, we're just going to be singing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus," from the top of our lungs, right? Just an idea, Pastor Taylor. When God does something special for us, our passion swells, doesn't it? We get excited when that special thing is done. We love him with all, as the Bible says, with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. But then it often subsides pretty quickly, doesn't it? Something happens that just sucks the passion out of our life. And we're back into normal, non-emotional love for God. Even when God chooses to not change our circumstances, he has still given us the greatest deliverance of all. We've got heaven, folks. He has delivered us from our sin. And believe me, our sin's a problem, okay? He's delivered us from that. He's provided salvation through his son. We have been set free from the penalty of sin. And even better, we've been set free from the power of sin right now in our lives. We don't have to be slaves to it. We need to stop acting like we are. Because of his great love for us, we should love the Lord intensely. Think about the way you would sing, "I love Jesus." How long would you be married if that's how you referred to your love for your spouse? Yay. We should not be afraid to boldly say, "I love the Lord." Psalm 103, verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." I tell you what, can we sing? Let's sing that song, "Let's Talk About Jesus." Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is he, the Lord of Lords supreme through all eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he, the Lord of Lords supreme through all eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. That's what we need to do, folks. We need to be talking about Jesus. So, what do we say if we're going to do that, okay? We need to profess God's goodness. Let's look back to the Psalm 116, verse 5. "Grace, or gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Folks, God is gracious, is he not? He is righteous. He has shown us mercy and compassion. He protects us. He saved us. He gives us rest. Rest. Like some of you that this year has been one where you're just tired. God's got rest and peace, security, no matter what is going on in the world around us, no matter how soon the sky is going to be falling based on what CNN says, security. He has been good to us. He delivered us, folks. God saved us for a purpose. Now, you know, some of you, I've approached you this way before when you say, or I say that, you know, God has a reason for us to be here. Here's my proof, okay? This is my non-Bible college, non-theological evidence that God has a plan for your life. You woke up this morning. If he was done with you, you wouldn't be here breathing his air, okay? God has a precious plan for each one of us, not when we grow up, not someday, but right now, right this very day, right this very moment, even you sitting here in this room, God has a plan. Psalm 56, verse 13, this psalmist wrote, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" God desires that we would walk with him in intimate fellowship, not following along behind him. Now, you can see me after church, okay? One of you ladies come to me and say, "Oh, Pastor, I think I left a dish here from last night." I say, "Well, if there's a dessert, it's in my office." But I'll say, "Well, let's go down to the kitchen, okay?" And they're going to walk down the hallway. I'm going to walk down the hallway. I might even be walking a little behind them or a little in front of them. But if it's my wife, where should I be walking? Right next to her. It's a picture of the different relationship. God desires us for not to tag along, but that closeness in a relationship with us. And we should speak of God's goodness in saving us. The Lord offers all of these gifts to everyone who will come to him in repentance and faith. And if we truly love God and are grateful to him, here's an if-then statement. If you are truly grateful to God for what he's done for you, and you truly love him, we must not be silent. We are to do everything that we can to share God's goodness to others. If we don't do that, if we just come in here every Sunday and do our own little church thing, and we've got our warm, fuzzy family at Grace, which we do, I think it's the best, warmest, fuzziest family in the world, okay? But if this is all we do, the hearers might never again have the opportunity to hear about God's goodness and the salvation that he offers. Look around, not at who's here, who's not here. 180 here this morning, perhaps. That means over 11,000 people just in the city limits that aren't here. And I don't know that they're all hearing the gospel this morning. How are they going to hear? We see them every day during the week, in the stores, at work, in the parks, wherever we're at. We need to be speaking what we sing in here out there to them. Otherwise, they may never know about what God has done for them. Also, we need to do this because, well, Scripture commands it. When we don't do it, it is an act of disobedience to God. Then we have to place our faith in God when afflicted. Easy to trust God when it's good, isn't it? Oh, we praise Jesus. We love it when things are going so well. And we've always got praises and testimonies to share when good things happen. Aren't bad things good things too? Well, yeah, God planned it. And he allowed it. Now, I'll be the first one to say, when you're going through a bad thing, something that really stinks, it's not easy to praise Jesus. Some of you know that. Looking back at bad stuff in my life, now that I've gone through the valley of the shadow of death, so to speak, I can praise Jesus. But even in the bad, there's good. Because God has used the bad in the past to work amazing, wonderful things. And he's doing that now in your bad that might currently be in your life. And we've got to place our faith in God when we're afflicted. Look at verse 10. It says, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. See, the psalmist learned, it's an interesting phrase there on the end, all men are liars. Now, I used to say that, don't take offense. It's just a joke. Probably shouldn't even say it. But you've had frustrations dealing with contractors. And they're not all this way, okay? And the joke that I had heard one time is, how can you tell when a contractor's lying to you? His mouth is moving, okay? And this psalmist is saying, all men are liars. In other words, what he's meaning to say is, you can't trust anyone to keep their promises. But God, you can, right? He had learned to place his confidence in God, not in others. Verse 8 of Psalm 118, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And the psalmist clung to his confidence in God. When our circumstances are not what we want them to be, when the circumstances elicit worry in us, anxiety, fear, maybe anger over what's going on in the world, in the Middle East, in politics, with the weather, financial realm, our health, place your confidence in God. Banks fail. We get old. Health fails. Politics, there's no hope. Our hope's in Jesus, right? Actually, that's a true statement. World affairs, the turmoil, there's no hope. Because God says, one day Jesus is going to come and it's all going to be gone anyway. So, don't lose any sleep over it. Place your confidence in the Lord. Here's what happens. He takes the worry, the anxiety, the fear, the anger, and he replaces it. So many of the Psalms you can read, many times it's David pouring out his heart to God. His world is crumbling. People are trying to kill him. He's laying on his bed crying all night. And so many of them Psalms, when your world is crumbling, fear, anxiety, anger, whatever it is, read the Psalms. Because right in the middle of those Psalms, after David pours his heart out, he says this, but then I remembered the Lord. And he spent time then thinking about all of the worry, anxiety, and fear. Ah, the sky is falling. But God. And God did this for him every time. And here's what he does for us. When we put our confidence in him, he replaces all of the junk with security, peace, and rest. Some of my favorite psalms are when the psalmist is like spazzing out. Ah, everything's crumbling. But then I remembered God and I slept. Wow, that's beautiful. That's what God can do. Difficult circumstances, they give us an opportunity to just let our light shine brightly for Christ. Not in here, but out there. So here's what we need to do. We need to guard our lips when we're in difficult circumstances. Guard our lips during those times that we experience. Always speak from a heart that trusts God continually. Guarding our lips, what we say, how we say it. Let our light shine in that it is demonstrating our faith in God by what comes out of our lips. I don't like this. This is so stupid. They're going to do this. This is going to happen. Where's our faith in God? We are demonstrating with our lips our lack of faith. Paul wrote this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. There is some confidence flowing in those words there. And here's our final step. Recommit yourself to the Lord. This is where our words need to become action. He does more. The psalmist is just saying more than, I love you, Lord, because God saved him from death. He's putting it into action here. And he made several promises through the rest of this psalm. Perhaps these are promises that we need to commit to today. Verse 13, he says, I'll take the cup of salvation, call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. So here's what he's saying he's going to do. He's going to express gratitude for salvation. He's going to faithfully call upon the name of the Lord. Not just when we get into trouble, right? That's when we really get serious. We pray earnestly when we're in trouble. He's going to fulfill his past commitments to God as well. Past vows that you have made, past decisions where you decided at the conclusion of a service or something, you know what? I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to get this out of my life. I'm going to start doing these things. And then what happens after time, it's kind of like a New Year's resolution. By February, the gyms are empty, right? We need to get back to past commitments that we've made. Psalm 116, verse 15, it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Faithfully express how God cares about the suffering of his people. Too many times people think God doesn't care. The world's view of God is becoming more and more yeah, there's a higher power, but he's not interested in anything going on here. In fact, if God did care, why is there this suffering? Why was there that tragic death last week in Pana? And some of you are familiar with my work in the coroner's office. How sad it is. You go into a home of someone who has taken their life. At the root, they just didn't think there was any hope. I've read some of the notes. They just didn't think people cared. God cares. They need to know that. And if we don't tell them, who will? From our from his own experience, the psalmist is going to express that God cares. Maybe even from the experiences that he knew of from other people. How God cares and sustains and meets needs. Verse 16, he goes on, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. He's promising, recommit himself to God. Verse 17, he says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. See, this isn't just a private decision he's making. If you're of the type that you think, well, religion's a private matter, you're wrong. Oh, it's so public, okay? It is so public. It needs to be this. I will do this in front of everybody. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord, he says. He promised again to thank God publicly. Hebrews 13, 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, I just thought of some, I always have these good ideas when I'm standing up here. And it's like, oh, I should have thought of this before. Imagine having a glass of water, okay? You are so thirsty. And you're going to drink, and you're just going to quench your thirst. A whole gallon of water. Drink, 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 drink. What's going to happen? Well, you're going to pass out because you're not breathing. You can't breathe and drink at the same time, can you? You can't do one or the other. This verse is saying that we are going to praise God continually. The fruit of our lips, what comes out of our mouth, is going to be offering thanks to God continually. That's the breathing, okay? If we're breathing, because we have to, we're continually breathing, we're not going to be complaining. You can't do both at the same time. We're not going to be complaining. We're not going to be saying words out of anger. We're not going to be saying words that are unkind to each other because we're focused on breathing, praises to God continually. Here's our example of what we are to do. We should honor, praise him for the salvation that he offers us. Yes? Absolutely. We should never hesitate to call on him for anything and everything that we need. We should keep the promises and those commitments that we've made to him. We should recommit ourselves today as his servants. Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is not pastor, because he gets paid to, asking too much, trying to get you to go a little bit more. This is our reasonable service with what God has done for us. He deserves more than just sprinkling a little bit of him on Sunday morning. This is what we will do if we are truly grateful for our salvation and everything else that he has done for us. Here's this verse again, Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Heavenly Father, God, help us. We need your help with this because we forget. Usually, God, I'm afraid we forget shortly after we leave here. And we're scurrying off to lunch and other things. And then the week starts. And we've already forgotten God, I pray your spirit right now would not just remind us of these things when we leave, but that your spirit would work in our hearts as we've learned about you today, that there would be a commitment of us to you to speak of you when we leave here, to share your deliverance, all of these benefits that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask if you would...